Welcome to Drive Time GP, a podcast exclusively for healthcare professionals. Dietary Challenges in Type 2 Diabetes miniseries. Part 4, Updated Diabetes Handbook. Where do diabetes-specific nutritional formulas fit in?
The landscape of type 2 diabetes treatment has evolved dramatically in recent years, with advances in research, medicines, and technologies. To align with these changes, the RACGP has launched a refreshed version of the Management of Type 2 Diabetes, a handbook for general practice, which is often referred to as the Diabetes Handbook, and provides GPs with the latest evidence and guidance for managing people with type 2 diabetes. Joining us today is Dr. Gary Deed, a dedicated specialist GP and chair of the RACGP Diabetes Specific Interests Committee. Gary will refer to the key changes in the handbook with a focus on inclusion of diabetes-specific nutritional formulas, DSNFs. He will also share practical tips on integrating DSNFs into general practice. Welcome, Gary.
Thank you.
So, Gary, effective management of type 2 diabetes really hinges on the crucial role of general practice. The RACGP Diabetes Handbook is a vital source for GPs, and it's just undergone its first update in 4 years. Can you give us the top lines on the main additions and changes to this new edition?
This November 2024 edition represents the ongoing collaboration between the RACGP and Diabetes Australia. And there's some really good new updates that have been included, including the remission of type 2 diabetes, weight management, sleep and disability, cognitive decline, dementia and hearing impairment, plus also updates in some of the sections that were there before, such as early onset diabetes, newer therapeutic agents to use, mental health complications, and also the use of technology in managing type 2 diabetes. But importantly, we've included in a new section under lifestyle interventions in the management of people with type 2 diabetes that includes these diabetes-specific nutritional formulas.
So, Gary, you mentioned the handbook now includes diabetes-specific nutritional formulas. That's the DSNFs. Can you remind us what they are?
I think this is very important for GPs like ourselves to understand that these diabetes-specific nutritional formulas are very specialized nutrition formulated to assist people with diabetes or impaired glucose tolerance. They have low glycemic index and complement other dietary recommendations that support people with type 2 diabetes by containing proteins, vitamins, minerals, and also monounsaturated and polyunsaturated fatty acids that helps improve blood glucose levels, hemoglobin A1C, glycemic variability, nutrition adequacy, and other health benefits.
And what are the differences between DSNFs and very low energy diets?
Now, distinctly, the VLEDs are designed for the management of obesity. They're recommended for people who have a BMI greater than 30. They have a composition that's very low in calories and also being low in carbohydrates and fat, but is high in protein. So they're designed to promote ketosis. Used as a total meal or total diet replacement, diabetes-specific nutritional formulas can be used independent of BMI. If you are overweight, DSNFs can be used to replace a meal, such as breakfast or a snack, or if a person's underweight, it can be used to supplement between meals. So they're not to be used as a total meal or total diet replacement. They're there to complement a healthy whole food dietary approach.
So, Gary, what's the evidence behind the DSNFs and why have they been included in the handbook?
Well, to really punch through that space, there was a consensus expert working group of multiple practitioners across people from the Australian Diabetes Educators Association, the Australian Diabetes Society, the Dietitians Association of Australia, and also the RACGP, and a consensus statement that was developed just prior to the release of our handbook for the management of type 2 diabetes. And that contained current evidence that suggests that the nutritional management of type 2 diabetes can be improved with the use of these formulas. And there are clinical studies that underpin their use as an alternative way to support people with diabetes in optimizing nutritional intake, improving glycemic management, and overall health outcomes when whole food options are not feasible.
So does this mean that DSNFs can also be used with diabetic patients who might be getting hypoglycemic episodes as well?
I think you've picked out a very important clinical use of these DSNFs in that you can utilise that in people who are at risk of hypoglycemia, especially at nighttime, for instance, such as the elderly or people taking sulfonylureas and insulin, and they can be used to supplement an evening meal by a later snack because many people actually eat early and they don't realise an extended period of lack of carbohydrates can lead to nocturnal or nighttime hypoglycemia. So they're utilised in that instance, definitely.
So there are clear benefits for DSNFs. Can you now take us through who's the ideal patient for these supplements and what does the Diabetes Handbook recommend in this space?
It's important to understand that they have a role, as I said, a supplement to a whole food approach. But think about in your own clinical work, people who need support post-operatively and they're not eating well, it's really useful to supplement and to recommend these DSNFs. Multiple people now using GLP-1 receptor agonists for weight management, where there's a reduction in what they're eating, and DSNFs are used to supplement and maintain a glycemically balanced nutritional approach. Also, with metabolic surgery, there's certainly evidence that these may be utilised in that space as well.
So you mentioned the GLP-1 receptor agonists, and these are increasingly prescribed in people with type 2 diabetes. And a matter of growing concern in that is the loss of skeletal muscle mass and function as a result that can accompany that rapid and substantial weight reduction. Can we just talk through the role for DSNFs in supporting patients who are using GLP-1 receptor agonists and have experienced that significant weight loss?
I think we've opened up a very important avenue that needs to be addressed by GPs supporting patients with the GLP-1 receptor agonists, is that 10% or more muscle mass is lost as well as fat loss. So maintenance of muscle mass is very important when we're doing calorie-restricted weight reduction. And addressing nutrition as well as physical activity should be a balanced approach to that problem. Nutritional therapy should ensure that we've got adequate intake of high-quality protein micronutrients. When prescribing GLP-1 receptor agonists, always consider whether you want to add a DSNF to your patient to fill nutritional gaps to, as I said, address muscle loss and nutritional deficiencies. In fact, a study in patients with type 2 diabetes showed that those using DSNFs had a significant increase in percent lean muscle mass and reductions in fat mass, adipose tissue around the visceral area of the body, waist circumference, compared to those that didn't utilise them. So it says that these DSNFs help promote targeted reduction in weight, positive redistribution of body fat, but preserving lean muscle mass, which is important for many health outcomes, including insulin resistance.
So what about the role of the DSNFs in patients with an HbA1c that is consistently slightly elevated, so 7.5, despite our concerted attempts to lower it, or in fact the patients who are overwhelmed with a new diabetes diagnosis? You know, these patients may not warrant starting a diabetes medication with concern of potential adverse effects. So can we use DSNFs in this space?
I think this is a common clinical phenomenon in early diabetes, and there's a lot for patients to digest, both intellectually, let alone physically. And so consider the use of DSNFs in replacing a breakfast meal is one simple change, which may actually reduce your hemoglobin A1C without adding to medication burden and also, you know, offsetting the risk of potential side effects. And it's shown that low-calorie diet utilising these DSNFs at about 6 months, that their patients were found to have a hemoglobin A1C reduction of 1.1% and a reduction of the need for step-up to oral hypoglycemic therapies compared to those who didn't use them, where there was an increase in the need of oral hypoglycemic agents. So here's a practical example, a meal replacement at breakfast time for those people right early in the start of their diabetes journey where we can help support them. But also, there are people who have got impaired glucose tolerance, as we call it, pre-diabetes, where these also can be utilised in a lifestyle plan, including diet and physical activity. Myo-inositol, which is added to some DSNFs, which helps improve insulin resistance in metabolic syndromes, type 2 diabetes, pre-diabetes, and polycystic ovarian syndrome.
So lastly, with the current cost of living pressures, what's the price point for these DSNFs?
I think this is surprising to people that these products can be purchased over the counter at pharmacies and cost $2.50 per serve. They're also available in liquid and powder form, so it can be individualised to the patient and not hit that hip pocket that we all should be aware of.
Thanks, Gary, for taking us through the key changes in the RACGP Diabetes Handbook, particularly pertaining to the DSNFs. Can you summarise the key take-home messages for our GPs today?
Important, go and look on the RACGP website and look at the latest Type 2 Diabetes Handbook with those significant updates across a range of conditions. I think that would be helpful. Also, understand and include the use of these diabetes-specific nutrient formulas as part of your evidence-based management of people with diabetes or impaired glucose tolerance. In that, we're trying to support glycemia, weight management, nutrient intake in situations where a whole food intake is challenging in the management. There's so many of those patients. Think of those patient groups such as post-operative nutritional support, people using a GLP-1 receptor agonist for weight management after metabolic surgery. And the last message is always consider using an accredited practicing dietitian to support your nutritional approaches for your patients.
Thanks for joining us, Gary. That has been a marvellous overview of the role of DSNFs in type 2 diabetes and beyond. Thank you.
That's okay. Stay healthy.
Brought to you by Glucerna, a clinically proven diabetes nutritional supplement backed by 30 years of scientific evidence, proven to perform. The substantiating references can be obtained from the Drive Time Radio website. This interview was supported by Abbott Nutrition and produced in April 2025. The views expressed are those of the individual speakers and may not represent those of the supporting organisation or Drive Time Radio Australia Proprietary Limited.